Welcome to The Dog Show with Julie Forbes. You're listening to Alternative Talk 1150 AM. The Dog Show is brought to you in part by Invisible Fence Northwest. Invisible Fence for the life of your pet. You can find them online at InvisibleFenceNW.com to learn about their indoor and outdoor solutions for both dogs and cats. Dog Show is also brought to you in part by All the Best Pet Care, all the best food, treats, and toys for your dog and cat. AllTheBestPetCare.com to find out where all of their 9 locations are around Western Washington. Last but not least, the Natural Pet Pantry, our newest partner, NaturalPetPantry.com. They make an excellent raw and cooked stew for dogs and cats, locally made here in Burien. Free home delivery. You can also find it at their retail store in Burien. And at all the best pet care locations around Western Washington. Another week, another show. We are coming up on the Vashon sheepdog trials in a couple weeks, a week and a half now. So starting in the second segment, I'll be talking with Maggie McClure again on the show. She's the coordinator of the Vashon sheepdog trials. So we'll be talking all things herding breeds, especially border collies and kelpies, because those are the two breeds that are represented at the sheepdog trials. We'll talk about the differences in herding and the what the sheepdog trials raise money for, and it's such a fun event. I'm really looking forward to talking with Maggie again in the second segment. I have a couple of announcements. I got a notification from the Animal Alliance of Washington that they have another adoption event coming up. Puyallup Pups and Purrs adoption event, Sunday, September 16th from noon to 3 p.m. at the PetSmart in Puyallup. So if you do go and find a new furry family member, I do recommend that you adopt your pet and then go ahead and head over to All the Best Pet Care for a fine selection of food and treats. Let's see. Their adoption events are great because they are several different shelters and rescue groups that sort of come together and put on these events. And there's also a lot of support for people. So there's shelter staff, volunteers, trainers that are available to help answer questions, because it's important that you don't just base your choice of adoption off of sight, and that you really learn, okay, what breed is this, or what breeds do we think this dog is, and what is that like, and what is this dog like as an individual? So Animal Alliance of Washington's Puyallup Pups and Purrs adoption event, Sunday, September 16th from noon to 3 at PetSmart in Puyallup. And then there's a great event happening this Sunday, September 9th, which is the day after my birthday. It's an exciting time of year for me. My birthday this year is on a Saturday, so that's fun. Sunday evening, September 9th, Eric, this will be of interest to you, singing for service dogs.
All right.
It's karaoke.
Now, are the dogs doing the singing?
No.
Okay.
It's a fundraiser for the Assistance Dog Club of Puget Sound, who I am heavily connected with. Darcy, my fiance, is the vice president of the Assistance Dog Club of Puget Sound, and we've had the president, Jean Hample, on the show a number of times. We just had her on recently celebrating National Assistance Dog Week, International Assistance Dog Week. Singing for Service Dogs is at our place Sunday night, September 9th at 7 p.m. And it's a fundraiser for the Assistance Dog Club of Puget Sound. There'll be karaoke, happy hour all night. It'll be a colorful evening. Lots of fun and a great fundraiser for a wonderful local organization.
Did you say that was at your place?
Our place.
Our place.
So if you want to find, our place is on Pine Street in Seattle on Capitol Hill, and it's actually the letter R.
Oh, right on.
It's not actually at.
Very clever, our place.
Our place. It's not at my place,
right,
or your place. R.
Very good.
Yes.
Well,
thank you for clarifying.
Happy birthday, by the way.
Thank you.
That's awesome.
The big 35 this year, Eric.
Congratulations. Yeah. 35 is a good year.
I hope so. Yeah. They keep getting better. So let's do it. All right. Now, I still owe you. I did not get myself to All the Best Pet Care yet to get you your salmon treats that you earned last week by finding a song actually about the thyroid gland. Last week we interviewed.
They said it couldn't be done.
Yeah, I will be surprised at nothing, I guess, unless you do find a song about nutrigenomics, which is Dr. Gene Dodd's next book subject.
Thank you. I'll have to take your suggestion and write one.
Yes.
Because I don't, yes. I don't think there's one out there on that.
Yeah, so I owe you some cat treats still. You know, one thing I was thinking about, just as far as training goes, this is something, so my area of expertise is in dog training and behavior. I've been doing that work for over 10 years now. My company name is Sensitive Dog, and you can find me online at sensitivedog.com. That's my training website. And then, of course, the radio show website, which is dogradioshow.com. And all of our shows are archived on that website. So if you've missed any of our past over 180 episodes, you can find them all archived and easy to listen to right from your computer at dogradioshow.com. You can also go to iTunes and find us on iTunes and just search for The Dog Show with Julie Forbes. And you'll see our little logo there with the orange dog in the blue oval. And that'll be our page. And then you can just download any of our shows from there as well and then take them on your iPod or whatever and listen to them more mobily. And we're also on Facebook, of course, too. So do find us on Facebook if you're on Facebook and become a part of the conversation in between shows. And just search for The Dog Show with Julie Forbes on Facebook as well. So, you know, my work outside of the radio show is working with people and their dogs in the capacity of training and behavior. And I've been doing that, like I said, for a little over 10 years now. And one thing that I just wanted to talk about briefly, just to kind of plant a seed in people's brains as they're looking at their own dogs, is really what training is and what it accomplishes. Because I think a lot of people maybe think that it's just like, oh, you know, teach the dog some words and, you know, now they know how to sit and isn't that great? Almost like a trick, like a party trick. Oh, yeah, they know how to sit or they know sitting down and that's great. But, you know, on a deeper level, it's really about communication and learning how your dog thinks and how to communicate with your dog in a deeper way. And I really encourage people, really who I'm speaking to especially, are people who have not done any training. And maybe because you haven't needed to. I mean, a lot of people, most people come to me because they need me. They're having some challenges, behavioral challenges, or just having a hard time establishing manners. And some dogs are just easy. And you don't really have to work hard at having the dog just be a really easy, manageable dog. But even if you're not having any behavioral challenges, it's just so important, I think. It's such a gift to give your dog to really engage their brain in that way and let them think, you know, work with them in a way and interact with them in a way that engages their brain and asks them to think and make choices. And it's just such a good quality interaction. And it's, I mean, there's all different styles of training out there and there's all different types of dogs out there too. But the main thing is that you work with your dog in a way that your dog as an individual needs you to. And the bottom line, regardless of the dog as an individual, is that we want our dogs to feel good about the work that they are doing. And it's not about like, oh, you know, we have to go to training and like the fun's over. It's, you know, that's something actually that the dogs really, really love. And I think in their own way really appreciate. And I just really encourage people to learn, and maybe it's not obedience training. Maybe you're doing, you know, like a nose work class or agility class or something like that. Just something where you're engaging your dog intellectually and developing a working relationship with them, because dogs and people have been living together for, some people say now, at least over 30,000 years, and some people speculate even longer. And the nature of that relationship has been working together. For tens of thousands of years, humans and dogs have been working together. The job description depends on the breed. I mean, there's scent hounds, there's working breeds, there's sporting breeds, gun dogs, herding breeds, which we'll be talking about today in the next segment. Even companion dogs, I mean, they all have brains that work and they can make choices and they're aware of their environment and they all really appreciate, and some more than others need, that intellectual stimulation. And I just really encourage people to see their dogs in that way and sort of appreciate the dog's intellectual needs and their mental energy needs in addition to their physical exercise. A lot of people just think the dogs need, you know, their walks and that's all that they need. But, you know, they want to be interacted with in a way that's, you know, in addition to affection, that's intellectual. And I think that it's a really great gift to give your dog, to find whatever that's going to look like for you. A great place to start is obedience training, just your basic commands. But you can also do other stuff. Like I said, nose work classes are great. There's a wonderful instructor here in Western Washington, Miriam Rose, northwestnoseworks.com, nwnoseworks.com, actually. And all sorts of other fun stuff. This area is loaded with fun stuff that you can do with your dog. So check it out. Get into something fun. It is back to school time after all. And it'd be just a really great gift to give your dog. So the Vashon sheepdog trials are coming up in about a week and a half. And when we come back from break, we're going to be talking with Maggie McClure, who is the coordinator of the Vashon Sheepdog Classic. So stay tuned. We'll be back in just a few minutes. You're listening to The Dog Show with Julie Forbes on Alternative Talk 1150. Hi, this is Julie Forbes, your host of The Dog Show and owner of Sensitive Dog, Dog Training and Behavior. Invisible Fence Northwest uses a balanced, gentle approach to help dogs learn their boundaries. I've seen it firsthand. They work with each person and pet as an individual and teach in a way that is fun and respectful. Your dog quickly learns it has freedom and fair boundaries, so is safe, happy, and secure. Isn't that what we all want for our dogs? Save $100 when you visit InvisibleFenceNW.com or call 800-800-FENCE and tell them you are a Dog Show fan. They're there for the life of your pet.
Do you have an injury, old or new, that won't heal? Are you fighting a cold or illness you can't kick? Do you feel like you've tried everything and are still struggling to find wellness and balance in your physical health? Have you been unimpressed with acupuncture in the past? For over a decade, Robert Meduzia has been making a difference for people who thought they had exhausted their options. Don't settle for pain and illness. Call 425-828-6190. That's 425-828-6190. Again, 425-828-6190. The Acupuncture and Sports Clinic of Kirkland. Heal faster, play longer.
This is Martha Norwalk. Every Sunday morning, beginning at 9 a.m., thanks in part to Connectin and Optigest, we cover the world of animals. This week, September 9th, it won't be our usual second Sunday show because I'm taking an extra Sunday off. That means Kevin McDonald and Kim Miller Medium and Animal Intuitive will be hosting the show for me. So if you want to know what your animal friend is thinking or how they're feeling, plan to give Kim a call. They'll have open phone lines throughout the show. Martha Norwalk's Animal World, Sunday morning, 9 a.m. to noon, right here on Alternative Talk, AM 1150.
Specializing in spinal decompression, chiropractic, and physiotherapy, Dr. Justin Favreau and his team uses integrative, evidence-based treatments to provide his patients with comprehensive care that works with the body as a whole connected system. Director of the Advanced Rehabilitation and Wellness Center, Dr. Favreau would love to find a solution for your symptoms of pain, numbness, and tingling, headaches, allergies, fatigue, and general malaise. Contact Dr. Favreau at 206-497-4962 or go to advancedrehabandwellness.com. That's advancedrehabandwellness.com.
The search is over. You found the station that's not afraid to be different. Alternative Talk, 1150 AM.
Welcome back to The Dog Show with Julie Forbes. You're listening to Alternative Talk, 1150 AM. And we are back with Maggie McClure, back on the show, who is the coordinator of the Vashon Sheepdog Trials. Maggie, welcome back to the show.
Thanks. Nice to be here.
Now, it's this year, the sheepdog trials are a little bit earlier in the year. It's in about a week and a half. So it's the Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, September 14th, 15th, and 16th.
Mm-hmm.
And it's on Vashon Island in Washington at Misty Isle Farm.
Mm-hmm.
And it's sheepdog trials. So what are sheepdog trials?
Well, sheepdogs is kind of a term that's used mostly in reference to the Border Collie breed in particular, but the trial's actually open to all breeds, and I do believe this year we have two Kelpies or three Kelpies that will be competing mm-hmm. Over the course of the competition, but the rest of the dogs for this particular event will be Border Collies.
And so they are working with sheep then?
They are working with sheep. Some of them do have jobs where they're working with cattle or goats or other types of livestock, but we have a bunch of lambs being shipped up from the Willamette Valley who will be used for this particular competition this year.
Okay, so some of these Border Collies in their real lives work with other livestock as well.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Okay. And what is the, so they, now it's on a gorgeous setting. This is such a fun event. You get to get out of the city. It doesn't take long at all to get there. You get to ride on the ferry and go and sit on a hillside looking over rolling green hills and watching Border Collies glide over the land. How far do they have to run to get to the sheep? It's quite a distance.
It is. That particular course, we set the sheep at about 425 yards from where the dog is sent, where the handler will be located.
So is that... it's like about a quarter of a mile?
Yeah.
Okay.
I think so.
It's a ways. I mean, they are hauling it and for a while, and they just like glide. They move very fast, but it's so beautiful to watch that. And then they have to swing out and come from behind so that they drive the sheep. There's like four or five sheep?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think we'll do five sheep on Saturday.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And then they have to bring them back to the handler and through like three different gates and then ideally into a pen.
Right.
And get all the sheep into the pen. And they have like 10 minutes.
Got it.
It'd be funny to like get some humans to
to see how long it would take them to do it.
Like almost like I'm fantasize like about some sort of somebody who like poo-poos on dogs or something. It's like, okay, well, you do it.
Right.
And go. And then everyone's going to watch you try to go and run. First of all, run that far. I mean, that alone could take some people 10 minutes just to get to the sheep.
Oh, I know. I know. I was actually doing a demonstration earlier today and I had these folks out and, you know, we brought some sheep in and put them through some pens and we took a look at them. And I said, you know, if we didn't, you know, it probably took me about 8 minutes with the dog. And I said, if we had to go out there and bring those sheep in with three of us, it probably would have taken us about 2 hours.
Yeah, and you'd be exhausted by the end of it.
And it would be hard on the sheep because they'd be bouncing around.
Right.
And the dogs settle the sheep. People think, oh, that's the dog chasing the sheep. It's hardly the case.
Yeah. You know, I was having a conversation with, I think it was a client, just yesterday about dogs and people. And I talked a little bit about this in the first segment about how we've been evolving together for so long. I mean, tens of thousands of years really working together as in co-evolving as two separate species, but living together and sharing our lives. And I really think that we owe dogs our success as a species. I think we owe a big part of that to the fact that we have dogs in our lives exactly based off of, for one example, what you're talking about. I mean, managing livestock.
Yeah.
There's no other way that farmers would be able to manage livestock. I mean, imagine the impact on their success of managing livestock if we didn't have dogs.
Right. I mean, I know there's some farmers out there who use a lot of like motorcycles now and four-wheelers and the like, but for many centuries that was not an option at all, you know. So
yeah.
I think someone was telling me they saw a painting with Border Collies in it from the 1200s.
Mm.
I mean, way back when.
Yeah.
Like And not that they were called that, or who knows,
sure.
You know, it was some version of what we think of as a herding dog now. But,
yeah.
You know, they obviously were utilizing the dogs for work at such mm-hmm. for such a long period of time. It's mm-hmm. pretty cool.
Yeah. I mean, and all sorts of different things, herding, guarding of the mm-hmm. flocks as well.
Mm-hmm. Carting.
Yeah, carting, hunting, and then just the protection of having that alert. I was talking with, I remember who it was now. I was talking with some other clients about the alert factor and how dogs barking at something outside the window.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know, it's sort of like, well, you know, we can certainly work to control it. And there's certain situations where the dogs don't need to do that. But at the same time, really honoring that they've been doing that for us for thousands of years.
Right. Exactly.
So it's, you get to watch in the sheepdog trials. Now these are, you know, why does a person with a working border collie participate in the trials? Is it just for fun, or is it for preserving this quality in the breed, or?
It's probably a bit of both. I mean, so many different handlers have approached the sport from different angles, be it, you know, myself, I came from the world of agility
mm-hmm.
and then found myself very drawn to this sport. Other folks, you know, grew up raising sheep, and mm-hmm. it was a natural progression for them to manage their flock. And then, hey, my dog's pretty good. Maybe I'd like to trial the dog and compete with the dog. And other folks are just start really casual, like, hey, I have a border collie, you
right.
know, and I think I'd like to take him out sometime and
right.
give a spin on the sheep. And then they kind of get hooked in and find that it's so rewarding for their dog that it becomes rewarding for them as well.
Yeah.
Get to learn about the livestock together.
Yeah. We did that. We would be in that category. If anything, we have cattle dogs.
Mm-hmm.
And you talked about the difference in how the cattle dogs work differently than border collies, but we've taken our cattle dogs sheep herding a few times, and you recommended someone to us who was wonderful for that. And you said she has cattle dogs and mm-hmm. how they herd differently, and it makes sense because, I mean, it's not that a cattle dog can only herd cattle and a border collie can only herd sheep. They can certainly be more versatile than that, but describe the difference in their, like, how they work. Like, how is the way that a border collie herds different from generally how a cattle dog would herd?
I would say the biggest shift between the different breeds, or the biggest difference, is in the way they scope out a field, if you will, the way their antenna runs. Border collie has got a very high scope. They've been bred to be able to travel great distances to bring together large flocks that might be spread out over several hillsides. So they have a big cast to them, and by that I mean they'll run really wide around the sheep, and they will be looking for sheep that are quite far away. Could be a mile away. It could be, you know, whatever. They run their antenna high so they can pick up on little bits of movement that might be happening at a very far distance away, where other dogs who are more comfortable at working through arenas and pens and the likes, the sheep or the cattle are in front of them and they can maneuver in those tight spaces in a little bit more relaxed manner. And if they went out to a big field and there were sheep a mile away, even if they were 300 yards away, they may not even really see them. They just don't show up quite on their radar screen.
Right. Well, and functionally too, I mean, if border collies are, I mean, we're talking covering a lot of ground. So just structurally, they're built differently.
Mm-hmm.
Border collies are pretty light and leaner, longer, whereas cattle dogs are more stocky, blocky. Mm-hmm. And then it also makes sense too, if the cattle dog is moving a cow, which is a bigger animal, through a tighter space, they have to kind of pack more of a punch
mm-hmm.
than if a border collie is I don't remember what you said, but basically sort of circling more widely.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, they do use border collies for cow work, too, mm-hmm. and they have to be quick to get in and bite and move back. Mm-hmm. But they are a finer-boned animal, so they, you know, like you say, they're not as fond of the tight spaces. Some of them do okay if they're a looser-eyed dog, and by that it's just they're able to get up close and be more comfortable getting right in there and stamping noses and feet if needed to move the livestock through some sort of gate system or something like that.
Yeah. Sort of off topic. Did you see the movie about Temple Grandin?
I have not seen that yet, but I've read her book. She's an amazing woman.
I recommend. Claire Danes did a great job, and it's very fascinating how she got into the minds of the cattle and restructured how they're moved and how made things a lot easier for the cattle. So anyway, I just thought of that. For those of you who are listening, watch that movie. It's very good. Okay, so, you know, it's an important thing to realize about, you know, really appreciating and honoring what dogs are capable of, because from my perspective, and I know yours as well, because you work with dogs in the capacity of with pet dogs in the capacity of training and behavior out on Vashon. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I have a few clients that just come to mind right off the top of my head, but like, oh, you know, I have this border collie and this is where he's bad, or this is where, you know, we're having challenges, or he's not listening, or he's barking all incessantly, or blah, 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 whatever the challenging behavior is. And it's like, okay, well, you live in the city and this is a dog that's capable of, you know, basically running a farm.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it's so important to meet these dogs' energetic needs mentally and physically. And for a dog like a border collie, they are both very, very high. I mean, these are dogs that are made to cover long, long distances quickly. And their intelligence is so high that they are going to want to be doing stuff all the time. And our cattle dogs are like that. What are we doing? What are we doing? What are we doing?
Yeah.
What are we doing? You know, and it's, you know, I think people really need to know what they are, you know, to really understand what the breeds were bred to do, and especially in the conversation of energy needs. And that's both mental and physical. Because, I mean, what do you, you know, it's like this dog is bred to be basically running a farm. When I mean running, like running the farm with the person.
Sure.
Because they'll keep, have you?
They'll run the farm without someone, but it may not be pretty.
Yeah, right. But I mean, they are on top of it. They know, a lot of times dogs I've heard know if something's off, if there's a coyote in the perimeter and the dog's in the farmhouse, they'll know.
Yeah.
And so just to like really appreciate, like, listen, these dogs are capable of so, so much, and they're just not given an outlet for all that energy.
Right.
So like, know what you're signing up for.
Absolutely. I mean, if I was a marathon runner, it might be just fine to have a border collie, or a mountain biker who wanted, you know, who was getting that type of mileage out on the dog.
Yeah.
Because they do. They're so, their physical need is really great. And I know we've talked about this in the past and how, you know, it can be misused when people are thinking, well, I bought a high energy puppy and I know I'm going to have to exercise it. I'm just going to run around with a ball and it really winds them up. It doesn't slow them down. And that's not the type of physical exertion that's really good for them. And oftentimes it's a breed that they can end up with some wacky quirks because their mind is making games for itself that may not relate to sheep at all, because there are no sheep around. So they can do some wacky things.
Yeah, and the mind will make games for itself, that's for sure. All right, we're going to take a quick break, and when we come back, we'll be talking more with Maggie McClure, who is the coordinator of the Vashon Sheepdog Classic. You can find all the information you need online at VashonSheepdogClassic.com. You're listening to The Dog Show with Julie Forbes on Alternative Talk 1150. In the deep, your love is lifting me. more than 25 years, All the Best Pet Care has been helping people choose the best foods, treats, and toys for their dogs and cats. They are a locally owned family business bringing about little miracles every day by following the Mother Nature model of nutrition. Stop by to meet their adoption cats, schedule an anesthesia-free dental cleaning, or bring your dog to the toy testing area. Visit their new store in Edmonds next to the PCC and their expanded Redmond store in the Whole Foods Plaza. To learn more, go to allthebestpetcare.com or follow them on Facebook.
Kemmley Electric Incorporated is a full-service electrical contractor. From simple home repairs to full remodels, new construction, and small commercial projects, our qualified electricians do it all. We pride ourselves on our workmanship and professional standards, delivered with value in mind. Located in historic Ballard, Kemmley Electric serves the greater Seattle metropolitan area. Licensed, bonded, and insured, Kemmley Electric welcomes all inquiries about your electrical needs. Visit the website KemmleyElectric.com. That's K-E-M-L-Y Electric.com.
For home repair, remodel, and construction advice, ideas, and stories every Saturday at 10 a.m., tune in to Constructing Whatever. With over 40 years of combined experience, hosts Tim and Lynn talk about whatever. From important need-to-know topics to fielding your questions from the latest industry news to humorous stories from the job site. Start your weekend project day with us on Constructing Whatever.
This week, I drink myself into a stupor and come late to the show.
Again.
Saturday at 10 a.m.
Conversations Live with Vicki St. Clair discusses issues that are important to you, like good health and well-being, finding a new job and building your business, overcoming life's big challenges and making sense out of chaos, and living with passion and joy. Join us Mondays at noon Pacific for Conversations Live with Vicki St. Clair. See conversationslive.net for show schedule and guest information.
This is Julie Forbes, dog training, behavior, and nutrition specialist and owner of Sensitive Dog, thoughtful guidance for you and your dog. If your dog needs basic obedience training, a behavior evaluation, or food consultation, I can help you. Call me at 206-372-7399 or visit my website, www.sensitivedog.com. I teach group obedience classes, in-home lessons, and evaluations, and a two-week intensive training program called Higher Education. Again, I'm Julie Forbes, Seattle's dog behavior training and nutrition specialist. www.sensitivedog.com.
No other station brings you this much variety. Welcome to Alternative Talk, 1150 AM.
Welcome back to the Dog Show with Julie Forbes. You're listening to Alternative Talk 1150, and we are back with Maggie McClure, who is the coordinator of the Vashon Sheepdog Classic. Sheepdog trials that happen every year on beautiful Vashon Island on Missy Isle Farm. This year, the sheepdog trials are September 14th, 15th, and 16th. Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, all day. Lots of opportunity for you to get out of the city and get to Vashon Island and watch some border collies and a few kelpies work their magic with some sheep. It's such a cool event. It's a beautiful setting. You just bring a blanket, sit on the hillside, eat some local food, and support. Now, this is a fundraiser, so what are you raising money for in addition to putting on this wonderful event?
We are raising money for Partners in Education, which is an on-island group who grants money to teachers and students for innovative educational opportunities. That's through the public school system. So mm-hmm. It's just a chance to get more money to our classrooms for unusual or new and interesting projects that the teachers mm-hmm. would like to do with the students.
Well, imagine that.
Yeah.
Now, that's very cool.
Yeah.
Something our school systems need a lot more of. A lot more of. But that's very cool that you guys do that for your community. And how can people, so it's cool because people can like sponsor a dog?
They can. We have, it's called the Smart Dogs for Smart Kids. And people can go online to our website, VashonSheepdogClassic.com, and there'll be information there. You can sponsor a dog. It's $100. It goes to Partners in Education. You'll get your tax write-off for that, and it enters you into kind of a limited raffle, and there's a trip to Whistler and some smart wool socks and some pizzas from Zeke's Pizza, all going to be raffled off.
Now you're talking.
Yeah, so it's really, you get to support the dog, and if your dog wins, you get a little extra something special, but there's only going to be 60 of these dogs available. And it's a way to kind of meet the handler. There'll be pictures of you and the handler. You can get their autograph. It's a nice way to just jump into the event with a little more depth.
Now, can you give me any insider tips off air on who you think is looking good this year?
Oh, yeah, we'll talk.
Julie. All your dogs? Now, are you competing in this event?
I am competing, yes.
Very cool. And who are you competing with?
I've got four dogs that will, I've got three and one's on a wait list. We had so many entries from folks as far away as Kentucky coming to the event this year. And I've got three of my dogs. My young dog, Ben, will be competing on Friday, which is a different level of competition. Uh-huh. And then I have Kep and Lil, who will both be running on Saturday and Sunday.
Cool.
Yeah.
So, one thing, how long have you been doing training and behavior with dogs in general?
Oh, about 16, 17 years now.
Okay, so I'm about 10.
Mm-hmm.
And what I notice as I evolve and refine, because as I'm sure you experience as well, like I continue to learn, the dogs never cease to surprise me, and I continue to learn and just refine and deepen and all that good stuff. What I find myself talking more and more and more and more about as I continue to do this work and frankly get better at what I do is looking at dogs in terms of energy,
mm-hmm.
and really an understanding how dogs express themselves, how dogs communicate, and how energetic it is, and how that will manifest through them physically. But I was thinking about herding breeds. I was thinking about actually the sheepdog trials and mm-hmm. some of the mental images that I have in watching those dogs move the sheep. I mean, I mean, imagine for people listening what it takes actually to get four or five or, I mean, how big will flocks get? Hundreds?
Hundreds. Thousands.
Yeah, I mean, where you would have multiple dogs, but mm-hmm. you know, imagine how much energy that takes to move, you know, a number of large animals without really making that much contact.
Right.
So if they're not making contact and they're not physically pushing, then how are they moving? It's all energy.
Right.
And that's sort of the communication between the two animals. And that's probably why it's grounding to the sheep, because the dog and the sheep are sort of connecting in that energetic way.
Mm-hmm.
But so that's like a really good example of, and this is true, I think, for all dog breeds, this is true for dogs as a species, not just herding breeds. But I think that herding breeds really show that really well as far as that energetic thing. And for people to really appreciate, listen, if this dog is capable of, from an energetic standpoint, of moving multiple large animals, and I will tell you, sheep are big. I have worked with sheep, just a few times with my dogs. They're big. And, you know, if they don't want to move, they're not easy to move. And so for a dog to just basically push out a certain quality of energy and presence that will get that many animals to move, it's pretty impressive. And then that sort of ties back into what we were talking about in the last segment about if you're going to get a dog that's capable of that, know that this is a dog that's capable of that type of thing. And so you're, you know, signing up for all that energy and drive and intelligence as well.
Mm-hmm.
But just in understanding how dogs communicate and how energetic it is, and like the quality of the energy that you project to your dog, and how you can display that with your body and relaxing your shoulders and opening your chest, and you know how you hold yourself and how you hold your ground, all these subtleties that dogs are aware of. But I just so appreciate dogs more and more energetically as I work with them. And I always think about the images from the sheepdog trials and how those dogs move, are able to move those large animals without touching them.
Well, and so many of them do, they have their own, we call it method in the sport of herding, is what kind of method does that dog have? And they're all very, very unique. So even just amongst the border collies in general, I have a whole bunch of them, and I have one who he's my Scooby-Doo dog. He's really laid back, and he's kind of like, you know, he's game, but he's really calm, and he doesn't throw a lot of nervous energy or excitement. He's just like, yeah, let's go work. Let's have fun. And he has this soft way of handling the sheep. And then I have another dog who is just really fired up, and he's containing all that energy, and it's just he's wound so tight, but he's moving so slow, so he shoots a lot of energy off the tip of his nose, you know, so the sheep are going to be much further away from him where he makes that contact, is what we call it. So it's there's an invisible thread between the sheep and that dog, and every dog's style or their method is going to affect how they approach those sheep and how the sheep respond to their presence. It could be one dog has to be 5 feet away and another dog is 40 feet away. And there's no necessarily right or wrong way. It's whatever is the method that's efficient and effective for that particular individual dog and those sheep.
Right, for the pair. And I think like the more that humans and just your average pet owner, the more that they actually can communicate in that way with their dog. So you were talking about the example of the dog to the sheep. And in working with dogs, I think that this is sort of similar quality of from human to dog of like getting the dog. Like, how do you get a dog to lay down for you? And can you do that just with your presence and do that just with your energy? And I'm not saying like you are like being telepathic or something like that, but it's like a very real communication, and it's a connection between the energy and the body. And like, so I think like if people could get one thing about communication with their dogs is like really understanding and connecting to their own energetic selves and how that manifests physically, because that's the dog's first, there's no translation.
Right, you know? Right. Well, intent matters so much too. When I talk to my clients, I talk about, and not just the herding, but everywhere, and similar to what you're saying, is, you know, think about what you want that picture to look like. How do you want to live with your dog? What do you pick, you know, really be conscious of what that looks like to have your dog lay at your feet next to the couch or be calm or, you know, whatever it happens to be, is really picture it in your head. And I think the dogs start to pick up that the intent and what we expect, just because we're really clear on what that, what their role is or where we would like to see them.
And how powerful it is to really focus and to emphasize your attention and focus on what you want. And, you know, certainly at times to address undesirable behaviors and negate them, but to mainly focus on this is what I want. That's what I want. And to really reinforce what we want. Okay. We're going to take a quick break. We'll be back in just a few minutes talking more with Maggie McClure, who's the coordinator of the Vashon Sheepdog Classic. You can find out more information VashonSheepdogClassic.com. It's this, it's a bit in about a week and a half this month, September 14th, 15th, and 16th on Vashon Island. It's an awesome event. I highly recommend you get yourself out there and watch some border collies and a few Kelpies work their magic with some sheep. We'll be back in just a few minutes. You're listening to The Dog Show with Julie Forbes on Alternative Talk 1150.
Where are you? We got some work to do now.
This
is Julie Forbes, your host of The Dog Show. If you've been listening, you already know how I feel about Invisible Fence Northwest and their safety solutions for dogs. But get this, they help cats too. They tell me they've helped thousands of felines enjoy safe freedom outdoors or can keep them safe inside. They also have gentle ways to create a dog-free zone for your cat, so your dog will stay away from your cat's litter box and food bowls. Visit InvisibleFenceNW.com or call 800-800-FENCE and tell them you want the Dog Show discount. Invisible Fence, for the life of your pet. Natural Pet Pantry is Seattle's original source for wholesome dog and cat meals, offering 8 different proteins to accommodate your pet's dietary needs. Made locally using all U.S.-sourced ingredients, their freshly ground stews, raw or cooked, can be purchased from their Burien shop, most independent pet supply stores, or delivered right to your home. Natural Pet Pantry will even work with your vet to custom blend a prescription diet for your pet's unique needs. Go to naturalpetpantry.com for more information. Natural Pet Pantry. It just makes sense.
Who is Jopra?
What is Jopra?
When is Jopra?
Joe Janot is the host of a brand new show called Jopra. Joe has been nicknamed Jopra by his friends and colleagues who find his advice and insight to be enlightening, just like a certain other talk show host of world renown. Born and raised in Seattle, independent-minded Joe Janot is bringing issues to the airwaves that make you ponder, laugh, and deliberate. The Jopra Show is about the ins and outs of food and drink, relationships, entertainment, and so much more. Get to know Jopra every Thursday at 2, right here on Alternative Talk 11.
This is Julie Forbes, dog training, behavior, and nutrition specialist and owner of Sensitive Dog, thoughtful guidance for you and your dog. If your dog needs basic obedience training, a behavior evaluation, or food consultation, I can help you. Call me at 206-372-7399 or visit my website, www.sensitivedog.com. I teach group obedience classes, in-home lessons, and evaluations, and a 2-week intensive training program called Higher Education. Again, I'm Julie Forbes, Seattle's dog behavior training and nutrition specialist. www.sensitivedog.com.
Open your ears, open your heart, open your mind. Alternative Talk, 11:50 a.m.
Pretending you got a sliver, you're not fooling me, 'cause I can see the way you shake and shiver. You know we got a mystery to solve. Scooby-Doo.
Welcome back to The Dog Show with Julie Forbes. You're listening to Alternative Talk 1150, and we're back with Maggie McClure, who's the coordinator of the Vashon Sheepdog Classic. VashonSheepdogClassic.com is the website. You guys are also on Facebook. You can find them on Facebook and like them on Facebook, as I have. And go check it out. It's in about a week and a half, the weekend after my birthday weekend, Maggie.
Yay.
Yay. September 14th, 15th, and 16th. You've got 3 days opportunity. Hey, if you're even up for it, go out there and spend the weekend. And go check it out. Now, you're going to have, you were telling me off air that you've got some cool stuff going on during the event in addition to the dogs working. And it's going to be primarily border collies and an Australian herding breed called a Kelpie. There's a few of the Kelpies registered as well, working with sheep. And it's over just a gorgeous setting on Vashon Island. The weather, I'm sure, will be fabulous, as it usually is in September. And it's just such a nice time to get out of the city and to just watch some dogs do what they're meant to do. Now, you've got some stuff going on. What else is there going on at the event that people have to look forward to?
Well, we have a variety of craft booths and some great local food that will be there available as well. So there'll be a knitting, a sheep-to-shawl competition, a shearing demonstration. We were going to have a disc dog demo, but we needed to trim that back so we could get more competitors in. So we're going to kind of be rolling all day, but people can kick around and see some of the interesting craft work that different people are doing. There's a kids area that's going to be set up for face painting and little activities to keep the smaller set or the younger set occupied.
Keep them away from the fence.
Yeah, exactly. and then also, as I'd mentioned, there's a Lean Animal Clinic in West Seattle is going to have a booth set up where they're going to offer laser treatment for dogs who might have a soft tissue or structural injury that needs healing. So those are going to be complementary on the trials site as well.
Mm-hmm. So people can bring their dogs?
They can, as long as they know their dog is good with people, good with other dogs, quiet.
Right.
And not going to be stimulated by what's going on, because we'd hate to have them leave.
Escort it out.
Yeah, go sit in the car somewhere.
Right.
Yeah. Especially if it's hot at all. So we want to make sure that the dogs who are coming are all are truly ready to be in that type of environment.
Yeah, because it is exciting. I mean, they're going to be watching other dogs working with sheep. So I know, I can tell you, would not be a good situation for my cattle dogs, especially my male, who's pretty tightly wound.
Yeah, yeah. I think folks just need to really know their dog. I made the attempt to take one of my border collies to my son's baseball game, and I found that that was not a good option.
He was like, what position am I playing here?
Exactly. Yeah. He was just like, whoa, 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 this looks like a lot of fun, and it's really exciting, and people are clapping, and yeah, little ones running around, so,
so
there'll be a lot of dogs, people, and like I said, a lot of kids, since this is a fundraiser for our educational group of Partners in Education, so we want to make sure that, you know, we got the good citizens out there visiting, four-legged citizens.
Yep. And so people can actually sponsor a dog for $100, and it's a donation to your efforts to support the local public schools. And then if the dog that you have sponsored wins the trial, then you get a bunch of cool prizes, including pizza, which is like the key word for me.
Yeah.
But, so that's cool, too. And so it's a fundraiser and a wonderful event. And are there other ways people can support other than sponsoring a dog? I mean, showing up, admission fee probably goes towards that as well?
It does. And our gate fee is $5. Or if people want to, tickets are available on brown paper tickets as well. And that's a 3-day pass, which is $15.
Okay.
And if someone wanted to just make that donation and just show up one day, well, that's okay, too. It's all it's all going to a good cause. So.
Yeah.
We welcome people to come out, and if they want to give us a little bit more at the gate on their way in, well, that's okay.
You're not going to turn it away.
No, and we have other stuff going on. There's pies that'll be raffled off, and there's an amazing Afghan that was created by a bunch of knitters on Vashon, and it's this incredible heirloom quality alpaca quilt that has got all sorts of sheep that have been knit in or felted in, and dogs, a couple border collies on there, and they worked all year getting this Afghan available. So we'll have a raffle of that going on as well on the trial site.
You know, when you first said Afghan, do you know what popped into my, like where my mind went?
Oh, I'm sure it was dog.
I was like, Afghan hound? There's going to be an Afghan hound there? Oh, no, actually a blanket.
Although that might be fun. Maybe we can have some Saluki, some sight hounds doing something pretty wild on the field someday. That would be pretty cool.
I don't know if the sheep would appreciate that.
Right, right, right.
Now, these are sheep that are brought in that are sort of like green, like they haven't really been worked that much. Is that true this year again?
That is true. It's a different group. In the past, we've had sheep come over from the Blue Mountains outside of Pendleton.
They're tough.
They are tough. And this year, we're mixing up the challenge. This year, we're going to have sheep brought in from the Willamette Valley from Brownsville area. And these are lambs, older lambs. And they present a whole different type of challenge.
Mm-hmm.
They do not have a leader yet amongst them. They're still young enough not to be really strong-minded as the older ewes are.
Mm-hmm.
And basically that just means that these dogs have to be way more on the ball because they're not sure which way to go. So they're bouncing left, they're bouncing right. They're no one's stepping up to be the leader. So there's
will require some more finesse, potentially.
It'll be, a lot more finesse needed to bring these sheep together.
Cool. Well, the website is VashonSheepdogClassic.com. It's an awesome event here on Vashon Island, September 14th, 15th, and 16th. You have 3 days to potentially get out there, or you could go to all three. and spend the weekend out there and watch the dogs work and hang out on a hillside and overlook some green rolling hills and see some border collies and a few kelpies really do their thing with sheep. It's such a cool event, and just so nice to get out of the city.
Yeah.
For those of us like me who live in the city, and for those of us who live in the city with herding breeds especially, you're welcome to bring your dog as long as your dog is going to be able to handle the all of the stimulation and won't take attention away from the working dogs and the spectators and you as well. So again, VashonSheepdogClassic.com. Maggie, always a pleasure to have you on the show, and I look forward to seeing you in a week and a half.
Okay, great. Thanks, Julie.
All right, thanks. We'll be back next Wednesday live from 2 to 3 p.m. Thanks for listening to The Dog Show with Julie Forbes on 1150.